Stagger Lee, how are we doing today?
Great. How are you doing, Producer Joe?
I'm doing good. I actually had to refresh myself a little bit on Rampage because that was the one I remembered less. Obviously, talking about this past week's Dynamite is going to be no problem.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I didn't get a chance to rewatch Rampage, but it'll refresh as we go along, I'm pretty sure. Did you have any news this week? I haven't come up with any news this week myself.
The only news I really have this week is coming off this past weekend's GCW events. We're going to have Joey Janela versus Sean Waltman at the GCW, the Janela Spring Break. We're going to have Moxley defending the title against AJ Gray. That's a big one.
And right.
God, there's one other match that got signed that I can't remember.
I can't remember it either. I haven't watched all of my GCW for the week, so
yeah,
I'm still on the first one of that. So
nice. Now I'm streaming my part of this recording on TikTok right now. We got Little Neo 82 is in the comments. He misses ECW. Those were his days. Little Neo, if you liked ECW, please go check out GCW. Game Changer is playing there on Fight. They are doing crazy business right now, and they have that ECW spirit that we love.
They do, and they have the luchadors in there. They have your technical wrestling, hardcore wrestling. They got it all. And yeah, I definitely, if you're an ECW fan or have been in the past, you're going to love GCW. There's no doubt about it.
100%. Now, Lee, let's not keep the people waiting anymore. Give them that intro and let's get to talking about Dynamite and then this past week's.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Rampage and then Dynamite.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody, on another episode of Unscripted Violence. I'm Stagger Lee, joined by my partner here, Producer Joe. And we'll start off, as we always do, with Rampage. This is the previous week's Rampage that we do. We got right into it with Adam Cole versus Dark Order's 10. And this was what I saw as technical wrestling versus strength.
Yeah, this was a great match. I like the Dark Order. They're a good group, but since Brody Lee died, they've not really stuck out a whole lot. And I thought 10 looked great in the ring, really just muscling around Adam Cole. Now, Adam Cole has been known, like, since he left ROH and his whole NXT run, he's been a big name. He's won championships. He's a lot of charisma. But in this match, he just seemed almost outmatched by 10's, like, power in the ring, I thought, at least.
Oh, totally. That's what I was going to say, because Cole was actually, the positive side of it is Cole was really selling the strength of 10 during this. Like the discus clotheslines that 10 would pull, Cole would go inside out, up and beyond what you would accept. And his selling was the high point of it, I thought.
Yeah, but Cole sold really well, and this was a great start to the previous week's Rampage, I thought. You know, Cole is entertaining in the ring, so if he's in the ring, you'll be watching it.
Definitely, definitely. And 10 had the full Nelson on Cole. Cole grabbed on to Aubrey Edwards as a counter to this, and while he had her distracted, He delivered a low blow to the nuts of 10, and that's what took 10 down ultimately, and then he dropped the boom for the win. which was a logical way to end it.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprising win. Like, when we saw it was going to be Adam Cole in the match, you kind of know Adam Cole's going to win. But I thought 10 gave him a good run for his money. And, like, after I've seen a Rampage filmed, these are... Like, I'll give you a little behind the scenes. When we were there live, Rampage flies by on TV. Not so much in the arena because there's a little bit of waiting between matches. But this was a really good Rampage match. I thought it kicked it off well. And it very entertaining.
Yeah, it you could tell it was. And yeah, I can't imagine live. It must be a different experience altogether.
Yeah, once we start talking about Dynamite, I'll talk about more of like what the evening was like for us there. But I just wanted to throw that in because Rampage flies by on TV, and this was a really good like kickoff to the show.
Great. Yeah, it was. It was. And then after that match, we had a video package on CM Punk versus MJF at Revolution. Nothing too special about it stuck out to me.
Nothing too special. I mean, they're getting you hyped up for the dog collar match, which it's a brutal in-ring type match. I'm very excited for it. CM Punk has history with it, and I think this is going to be one of those things I'm tuning in to watch.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to watch that match for sure. It's been built up to a point to where you got to see it. You got to see the end result. And you're excited to see it. And especially with the emotion that's been invested by both parties into this match, I don't see how anybody can't be excited for this one.
Yeah, like we've talked about how AEW has really good long-term storytelling, and this is one that they haven't rushed. I feel like they've done it just enough, like each week that they build it up, and this video really helped. But following this was, no matter how many times I see this match, I'm always very into it. Dante Martin versus Powerhouse Hobbs. And this was the Face of the Revolution ladder match qualifier. And I can't get enough of Hobbs in the ring. He's just like one of those big bruisers. Dante Martin, great high flyer. I think he's only gotten better as time has gone on in AEW.
Oh, most definitely. And I enjoyed both of them in this match. I especially enjoyed Hobbs in this. It's been one of his peak performances I've seen so far. And as far as demonstrating his power aspect and just his overall performance in this matchup, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, he really showed out well, and it's not surprising that he got into that ladder match. I mean, really just a bruiser of a guy.
And that spine buster he hit was just incredible. It was comparable to a AA spine buster. It was the perfect finish for a perfect match.
Yeah, he definitely had some hype coming into AEW, and I feel like even though they don't use him all of the time, he has more than lived up to the promise he had when he came into the company.
Yes, you're absolutely right on that. But we got Hobbs making the win for that. A great use of Hobbs. Looks like we're going to get a battle of the big boys in the Face of the Revolution, which is a different thing. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. All the participants in it, because it's going to be an exciting one, I feel.
100%. Now, a ladder match is always exciting in wrestling, but now you've kind of got like that added bonus where it's like going to be a hoss fight ladder match, like a big boy battle. And that that makes it more exciting. And I mean, speaking of exciting, this Serena Deeb, the 5-minute coaches challenge, has really, I thought, been a highlight of programming.
Oh yeah, I've really liked it. Before that, we had Tony Schiavone with Jade Cargill and Smart Mark, and they were interrupted by Matt Hardy and the Bunny, and Matt challenging Jade versus the Bunny. Matt throws a little bit of the Hardy Boys in the end of the interview, if you notice that, where he mentions how extremely they're going to be, and he threw up that Hardy hand sign, and just kind of a little teaser of what's to come, I think.
Yeah, and that was kind of some news on the week. There was, I think it was like last Wednesday, news broke that Jeff Hardy would be going to AEW, and he said he was excited about it.
Yeah, that's about...
he had filmed something backstage. And I think that's what we've all been assuming, but we haven't seen news of that yet. And I wouldn't say I'm 100% convinced necessarily.
I don't know. I like to hear the news, and I like to know that Jeff Hardy's talking about it. I'm just excited to see it happen. I know that they're fighting in several independent matches, so maybe that's a warm up of things to come. I don't know. I'm excited about it, and I don't see anybody being a Hardy Boys fan not being excited for this. And let's just hope that they make a good run of it.
I think they will. The Hardy Boys have always been very interesting in wrestling. They had that big Impact run, kind of melding with ROH, that led to their comeback to WWE. And Jeff stayed there quite a while. Matt had left a while ago to come to AEW.
Right.
And it's just interesting to see how these guys evolve as their career goes on.
Yeah, it is. But then, like you mentioned, we had the Professor's 5-Minute Challenge. Serena Deeb versus Angelica Risk. And Angelica is one of my favorites on the darks. I love her style. I love her heelish nature. She pulls it off perfectly.
Oh, wow. I haven't been watching a lot of the darks lately. I'll have to catch up with it.
Yeah, and Helica's been on there, I'd like to say, a handful of times throughout the past year, and she's never ceased to impress me, and I could see her really going far if given the opportunity. But in this match, of course, it was all about Serena, and Serena showing off her skills, and it's no surprise that she wins the bout.
Yeah, I feel like these matches have really kind of highlighted Serena's viciousness. Like, it's made her a more compelling character, the way she's really owning these opponents in 5 minutes and under.
Yeah, it's been great, and I've enjoyed it too. Next, we had a video package on Mox versus Brian. Which I'm of course excited for. I think everybody is.
Yeah, they've been lining up this match well. Like, I think we all want to see Bryan Danielson and Moxley team, but before they team, I do not mind seeing them battle it out.
I don't mind it at all either. It's just gonna add that one more layer to their dynamic together, and whatever they do with it, I feel that it the end result's going to be quite impressive.
Oh yeah, like, I'm really looking forward to this Revolution pay-per-view this coming up Sunday.
Oh, I am too. I can't wait for it. It brought us into our main event though, which was Switchblade Jay White versus Trent Beretta, who was accompanied by Orange Cassidy. It was an excellent even matchup between the two. Both Jay and Trent looked excellent, if you ask me. There was kind of a spot where Jay White, he's, I don't know, did he dump Trent over the top rope and out of the ring? It seemed like a dump to me. Excalibur called it a suplex, but it seemed a little bit more rough than a suplex. It seemed like a straight up dump to me.
It was probably one of those moves, I would have to guess, that got away from him.
Yeah, it didn't detract from the match, but if there was a criticism I had for it, that was the only criticism. But still looked good. I just want to know, how many times does Excalibur have to bring up the fact that Jay White's the Grand Slam champ in NJPW? He brought it up about 4 or 5 times during the match, and I was pretty much like, enough with that already.
It feels like overkill, but you want to establish this guy as a big deal. A lot of the other people they've brought over from New Japan, Suzuki, you don't necessarily have to explain. Satoshi Kojima, you have to explain a little bit. Yuji Nagata, not as much. But the more credibility you can give these guys coming in, the more important it makes them feel. So
it does.
I guess it's one of those weird production things.
Yeah, it just came across as a bit much to me. But those are my only criticisms during that match. The rest of it was just absolutely brilliantly done. And
AEW usually does pretty good on things. Like, I'll have criticisms every now and then about something, but it's really few and far between.
Yeah, same here. But that leads us into Dynamite, which you were fortunate enough to go see in Bridgeport.
Yeah, it's probably about, it was like an hour and a half from where I live. We went to the town and we ate at a little pub called Murphy's Law, probably a half mile from the venue.
All right.
And dinner was great. We got in there a little before Dark Elevation started taping. So we got to our seats and everybody else we went with, my brother, my buddy, and another friend that joined us, they all stayed in their seats. Well, me and my co-host, the man they call Dave, we went to go and get, we wanted to go to the merch stand first, which at an AEW show, the merch lines, they're more insane than WWE lines. People stay.
I'm kind of curious as that is how the merch lines are there.
They stay full. So me and my buddy went. We both got sweatshirts, and then we went and got something to drink real quick. And while I was looking kind of through one of the doorways, we saw Jay Lethal in a match. And I was happy to get to see him wrestle, but I would have rather been like in the arena watching it.
Right. But
Dark Elevation is, I believe it's Dark Elevation, was the first thing they taped. And it was, you know, it went by quick enough. We saw a little bit of an angle happen. And then once the show started, you could really see the whole crowd got pumped up. Like, if you go on the Working Fans podcast, either our Instagram or our TikTok, I posted plenty of videos from in the arena that night.
Yeah, I watched several of them, and it looked like just, I was jealous of you guys.
And a lot of what I was trying to do was, like, I would take, like, a video of the relevant stuff going on, but I also wanted to show you the arena overall, because I feel like the excitement right now for AEW live is out of hand. It's something that WWE hasn't had for a while. Like, that level of excitement.
Right. And the crowd participation did seem to be not over the top, but it seemed to be very enthused especially at this show. It just, the crowd was great.
Throughout the whole show,
it just seemed like the crowd did not lack in excitement.
Oh no, the crowd was up there. Like the Tony Khan comes out to do promos between tapings, and nice. His promos are as insane as you would expect. I mean, he's just into it, and he's really proud of what he does, but it almost comes off as a little crazy.
I've heard that, and well, I've seen it too. Some people say it's a bit much, but I just see it as a guy who's excited about his product and what he's brought, and I see him less as trying to promote it and more as a fan of what he's promoting.
He's definitely a fan that is in a promoting position.
Yeah, so I think that's great. But we started off with Dynamite with the tag team battle royal. I didn't take time to write everybody down in the battle royal, but
what I enjoyed about this was they got all their full entrances between the Dark Elevation taping and the start of Dynamite. So when Dynamite started, I haven't watched it back on TV, but when it started, everybody was outside of the ring, right?
Right.
Okay, so yeah, before it went live, everybody got their full entrance and they all came out to the ring. So it was cool to get that. But then, sweet, like with any TV taping, you see the lights change. You get the video that plays on the Titan or on the, you know, the big screen, and then everything kicked off. And I wasn't excited about this battle royal going in, because battle royals can go one of two ways. But live, the whole crowd was going wild for this. And I thought they did a really good one. It went probably, what, 20, 25 minutes or so?
Yeah, it was a pretty lengthy match, but it wasn't boring in any aspect of it. I liked how each team towards the end had a member representing them. So you had like one member that was out, but another member was still in there, leaving that air of mystery in it.
Oh yeah, like I wasn't sure if when one person got eliminated that the whole team would have to go.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, but apparently that wasn't the factor. The factor was you had to have both teammates eliminated, which made it more exciting to me.
Oh yeah, because when you got down near the end, you saw there were four people in the ring from four different teams. It left you wondering who was going to turn on who, like what was going to go on. So it was very interesting, I thought.
Right. And there was just so much action. I didn't, like I said, too much action for me to take notes. But in the end, Kyle O'Reilly got the win for Red Dragon. And
I'm a big Red Dragon fan, so I was very excited by this win.
I didn't know them when they were Red Dragon. I knew them from NXT, and I'm a fan of both of them in NXT. Anything they've done has just been excitement all the way through.
Red Dragon was amazing in Ring of Honor as well. They were in Japan around the same time as the Young Bucks, Roppongi Vice, who we brought up from last week.
Yeah.
So they're a very good tag team, and to see them win this, I hope it puts them in contention for the tag titles, but I feel like it's kind of just setting up them versus the Bucks versus Jurassic Express.
It's certainly seeming that way, especially with the heat between them and the Bucks that's developing.
And that's fine, because they've been developing the story well. Like, I don't mind it.
Yeah. But in the end of that, let's see what happened there. John Silver did the dive onto Red Dragon on the outside. Paige landed a buckshot on O'Reilly in the end. And then he got on the mic and cut a decent promo. Paige's promos are...
That was the post-match, right?
Yeah. That was
after. Yeah, because Kyle O'Reilly had gotten the win, and then Adam Page had come out.
Yeah. That was right after he got the win, and then he cut that promo.
That's when Red Dragon, I believe, came out to attack him?
Yeah, that's when they came out.
And then the Dark Order kind of came out and chased them off.
Yeah, Dark Order came out. John Silver made a huge rescue. And then it ended with Paige landing the buckshot onto O'Reilly, getting him out of there. It was sort of awkward with Red Dragon around Adam Cole. They were kind of making comments that seemed like a junior high school type approach to responding to Paige. This was just me, though, maybe my perception of it. So that part of the match, I think they should have just kept their mouth shut and just kept walking up the ramp, personally. But
yeah, I feel like they always feel like they gotta add that little extra bit.
Yeah, it seemed like that. But after that, we had Tony Schiavone. He's backstage with Bryan Danielson talking about his match with Garcia coming up in the night.
And this was not a match I knew about going into this night. So when I saw this, I got very excited. And I couldn't believe we were going to see this live. Like, this almost made me feel like Bryan Danielson is almost like the American Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, I could see that. And I was happy that it happened for your benefit, too, because I know what a huge Garcia fan you are. And I thought, wow, Joe is just going to love this main event.
Yeah, and if you look at it, since Bryan Danielson kicked off this thing with Jon Moxley and he brought up Wheeler Yuta, who he wrestled that week. He brought up Moriarty, who he wrestled the following week. Daniel Garcia, the week after that. I feel like storytelling-wise, it feels like they're going to form a faction.
It could go that direction. They were kind of mentioning that, too, a little bit in commentary, too. So, I wouldn't be surprised. But next, we had a surprising heartfelt promo by MJF, which I'm not sure if I should buy this promo or if it is going to be as an end result, sort of a heel type angle he puts on it, but it certainly came across as straightforward.
I want to talk about it without evaluating where it's going. Because, you know, we could be hit with a swerve. This could be straight up. This was definitely a real story. This is one of the best wrestling promos I've ever seen.
I was blown away.
And, like, when you're watching a wrestling show and you hear a guy on the mic say ADHD Jew boy, you're like, okay, holy shit, that's a phrase.
Yeah.
But then when you stop and think that went out on TV, that whole story becomes that much more powerful. And for such a young person, he is getting it. Like, he could totally go face now. I don't know if he will.
Oh,
I don't know what else to say about this promo. Like, it was breathtaking live. Like, it wasn't advertised, but when you see him come out, you kind of figured it had to happen. And this was magic. I was blown away in my seat. I can't believe I got to see this live, honestly.
I'm jealous that you did. And not to mention, I think CM Punk's reaction coming out there and the way he sold his reaction on it just was like icing on the cake.
That's why I gotta watch this live or watch this on TV, because when we saw it live, Punk's coming out, there was no music.
Right.
So we kind of got robbed of that entrance. I'm not complaining because it added to everything. But I got to see how this played on TV, because live, it just gave it such a seriousness that it made the tension that much bigger for this match.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliantly done. It was amazing on both their parts. But MJF proves how versatile he can be. And that was just a... That's going to go down in history as one of the greatest promos out there.
And from what I've heard from a couple people, I've heard it a couple different places, one on a podcast, one from somebody I know personally. This is a story he has told before. So this is real life.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know how he's going to use it for wrestling. But like... if you experience that kind of pain in life and you can turn it around for yourself, that's huge. He's turning it around for himself in this character, and I'm on the edge of my seat where this is going.
I think it put us right where we want to be, especially for the pay-per-view coming up. Just adds that much more excitement to it all. But after that, the lights went out, and we have Kings of the Black Throne coming out. The lights go out again, and it's the Bastard Pack and Penta Oscuro. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I want to say it's Penta Oscuro. It could be... to me, it sounded like Obscuro, but when I saw it written down, it was like O-S-C-U-R-A. So I think
I was going to make a point of putting it in Google Translate, and I didn't. So I don't know the context in which it was used. But
I believe it's relative to the Pentagon Dark character that he did in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, that's what I was getting, that Lucha Underground feel to him, too.
I was excited to see him come out in the new getup, Alex Abrahantes come out in the getup that he did.
Oh, that was cool.
See that Kings of the Black Throne entrance live. There's nothing like it. Like,
I can't imagine. I love the entrance as it is, and just to be there live must have been incredible.
Well, Lee, you're a heavy metal fan, so you know that moment. You're waiting for your favorite band to go on. House lights are still on. Everybody's talking. Then all of a sudden, the lights go out. And whatever band you like, you're starting to hear a little music on the stage. Then you see the light, like a light in the back, come on. And you see smoke all over the stage. And then you see the shadows. That's what their entrance gives me the feels of. Like a band just about to go on stage. And
it has that very like black metal feel to it. If you've seen any prominent black metal bands, how they kind of go on stage, they have thick incense smoke and the lights are very dim and everything. It just has that whole eeriness vibe to it.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of their shirts are reminiscent of this. Have you ever checked out Brody King's band?
I did briefly. What are they called?
God's Hate.
God's Hate, yes. And I really enjoyed them from what I heard of them. I only listened to a couple songs.
Yeah, me too, because when I hear somebody's a wrestler and in a metal band, I mean, I was familiar with Every Time I Die before I was familiar with The Butcher.
It is, yeah, and that's Butcher's band, isn't it?
Yeah, they actually just broke up recently, so maybe he'll get to spend some more time in
wrestling. Well, wasn't he the bass player?
He was one of the guitar players in Every Time I Die.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to pay a little more attention to them, but yeah, they got me, especially Malachi Black's first theme he came out with that had like the droning instruments, and it had him sitting cross-legged with the mask and the lights going out, and just the whole build up to that song, and then it goes into like this real like black metal type screaming into it. That's probably my favorite music that he comes out to. I forget the name of the band. It's like a Switzerland based band or Northern.
I can imagine that, like a European metal band.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing. But they were against like I said, Pack and Penta, and Pack is looking great in this. And it's a real good even back and forth match. They had a story to where Black had the mist in his mouth, but Penta covered his mouth. So it in essence made Black kind of choke on the mist. I thought that was a cool little twist to the match. And Penta eventually rolls up Black for the win in that. And then King launches an attack on Penta and Pack. And Black is still rolling around like he's choking. And Malachi, at one point, he's acting like he's going to actually decapitate Penta with the shovel, which I thought was a bit too extreme. But I can overlook it for what it was.
It led to a big angle.
Yeah, it did. It's because the lights went out, and then here's Buddy Murphy, who they're now calling Buddy Matthews, and that caught me off guard. I was not expecting him, and he's an amazing wrestler, and he's going to be an amazing addition to that trio altogether. And it makes me think every time they come up with trios like this, I really want to see a trios title come about very soon. They have enough teams out there that could fulfill this need, and AEW does not blow it when it comes to trios matches in my eyes. Every trios match I've seen, and I'm sure there's an exception here and there, but every single one has always been excellent in my eyes.
Yeah, it almost makes you feel like they'd be lining up for trios titles at some point.
You gotta think that.
Plus, they're so, like, kind of... I mean, they're more, like, Japanese reverent, but even Japanese companies in their... They have a lot of trios titles because they're influenced in part by Mexico.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope that that's the direction they're going in, because they have so many different teams and combos they could go with at this point that it only has up written all over it. I don't see any downside to it. But then we had Eddie Kingston come out, and there's security in the ring. And then Jericho makes his entrance, And they really do a great back and forth promo with each other.
I was not excited for this going in at all. I'm an Eddie Kingston fan, but like I was like a promo battle. I was amazed by how good Jericho looked physically, because I think part of the knock on him in AEW is he has looked a little out of shape.
Right.
But everything about this promo battle was amazing. It had me excited for their match now.
Yeah, it did. It did me too. I thought it was a great touch how Jericho's like, you can't win the big one, and I am the big one. And the way he delivered that and the look in Kingston's eyes, that sold the match for me right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's got me feeling like Kingston's got to win.
Yeah, definitely. Then after that, we had Ricky Starks. He's with Powerhouse Hobbs versus 10. And kind of seems like we just talked about this match, other than it's now Ricky Starks and 10. He had the full Nelson locked in Ricky Starks, and Ricky ends up messing with his mask, kind of turning it backwards, and then spears him while he's blinded for the win on that one. Different kind of ending. I wasn't expecting it, but it worked.
Yeah, a little something different. You gotta have 10 is such a powerful character that if a guy is gonna like outwit him and outmove him, then you would hope there'd be some kind of trickery involved.
Exactly. Yeah, and enough in there to make it believable. But then we had Red Dragon and Cole backstage, and the Young Bucks were saying, hey, you double-crossed us. Cole gets pissed off, and he just says, look, I'm begging you guys, get along, you know. And Cole's really trying to push the point that these two teams need to get along in order for his faction to work. And that was it on that. Then we had Jade Cargill with Smart Mark, and she is against the Bunny. I wasn't thinking much about this match. What were your thoughts on it?
This was probably, if I was going to say anything, this might have been the low point of the night.
Right.
Just because, I mean, I'm a Cargill fan, but there wasn't a ton behind this match, and it just kind of felt like something we had to get through. It was good enough, but nothing stand out.
I'm glad that the Bunny got some offense in this. I was really worried that they were just going to squash her like they have the countless others that came before her, but they actually made her seem like a strong and formidable opponent. And I think that's what kept my interest in the match. It certainly wasn't Cargill.
But, no, she's still a little bit away from being a draw in and of herself.
Yeah, and I feel bad saying that, and I get a lot of heat saying that even online, but it's the truth, people. I call them as I see them, and I think that she was pushed way too fast, way too soon, and hasn't been given the time to grow into her role, which she needs to do.
I mean, the only thing I'll disagree with you on is she's been giving more time to grow into her role than Brock Anderson. At the same level of talent, I'd say, more or less.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, she does. And they've given her more of a feature spot. It's just tough because you're a green champion and people want to see you do better, but you're still learning. So as we know, that comes with time. And I think we're holding her to the standard of a champion almost rather than as a newcomer. And Brock Anderson's been lucky because he's been able to do that in relative obscurity.
Yeah, that's true. But I see where you're coming from in that, and I'd have to agree. Let's see what else happened in after the Bunny and Jade. Oh, we had backstage. We had Keith Lee, he's interrupted by Ricky Starks and Powerhouse, and they're talking a little bit of a smack to him. And I don't think Keith Lee needs to be doing any promos right now, personally. I think we need to see more of him in the ring and let that speak for itself, just for now.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more of him in the ring.
Yeah. But then we went into our main event, which I knew you were pumped for it. Daniel Garcia versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. I know it looked amazing on TV, but how did it look live?
Oh, live. I was glued to this match. I was so excited for it. And God, I was just happy this was a main event.
It was an excellent main event. Start to finish. I loved the finish to it. That arrogant flex that Brian was pulling, and the look on his face while he's doing the triangle choke. It was just so smug and so arrogant. It really showed through on TV, and I bet it did live too.
Oh yeah, he's been really good about all of the heel stuff that he's done.
Yep, and then out came, while he was doing that, out came 2.0, and they jumped Danielson, but then we hear Mox's music hit, and he basically clears the ring out, and this is just setting up for the match at Revolution is what I took.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Away from it, but did you have a wrestler for the week this week?
Gotta be MJF. That promo was on a different level.
Well,
and
now,
it did a lot to sell the match.
You got me double thinking myself, because that was a promo of promos. I went with Powerhouse Hobbs. Just on pure wrestling and really getting out there and showing us what he can do, that he's not just a goon, that he can be technical and he can make it look so good.
Definitely. And just so powerful. Like, when he wants to be, he can be very intimidating in the ring.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He definitely did that. Now, for this whole show, I gave it 3 chair shots and a light kick from Orange.
I'm biased. It was 4.5 chair shots.
I could see why. You were there live, so
yeah, I was there with my brother, my best friend, my co-host, and another close friend that goes to a bunch of wrestling shows with us. I'll
That's
be honest,
awesome.
I had an edible in me and a vape pen on me, so I was feeling good. And it was we were laughing all night. Like, from the time when we went out to get food right before it to the main event, like, it was a good time overall. I would have to watch the show on TV and analyze it. I'd say, if I'm being honest, 4 stars, but being there live, it was 4.5.
Yeah, I could see that. It was a damn good show. And yeah, like you said, the high point definitely was MJF's promo. I thought it was like the whole time I was thinking, man, this has got to be a swerve. It's got to be a swerve. But then it ended and it was like, wait a second, maybe that was.
Yeah. I mean, it's even better if the swerve's in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be just perfect. And classic MJF on top of it, too. But yeah, that had to really make the show. So everybody, we are going to do this past weekend's GCW. I think that we've come up with the time for it yet.
No, we'll probably most likely record in the next couple days because I've watched all of the first event. I want to rewatch the main event with my full focus.
Right.
And I've got to watch the second event. So
I've only watched the first event, and tomorrow I was planning on watching the second event.
Nice. So guys, we will definitely figure out a recording time and get it out to you soon. But once again, yeah, thank you for joining us on Unscripted Violence. Stagger Lee and myself, we are happy to get together each week and talk about this. Like, I do the Working Fans podcast each week, and that feels like more work for me because that's like my main thing. When I come and talk to Stagger Lee, this is just fun. I get to talk about wrestling. I've got notes to give you a little bit of a idea, but this is where we come to have fun and talk wrestling. I think that's why you created this, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's for nothing but that, and I have a great time doing it with you too. And you're really you've showed me a lot of the ropes and everything, and I appreciate you every time you're on the air with me.
And you know, that's what life's about. If you can do something well in life and be able to help somebody else out when they get a start, that's what it's all about, just doing good for others. Like when the man they call Dave and I started our podcast, there wasn't really anybody to get a ton of advice off of. So a lot of it kind of just learned as we went. And we found that's how a lot of podcasts do it. So if you can have somebody that can directly help you, it only makes your game better. So I'm here to have fun, and I'm here to help Stagger Lee step up his game, which if you have listened over the past, I don't know how many episodes we've been on together now, but I think we've really been hitting our stride.
I think so too. I think we've probably done easily at least, I want to say, 6 episodes in the past couple of months. I want to say that we started either late December or early January. I'd have to look in my notes and really find out. But yeah, it's been
a blast. Like, if you like what we do, any podcast provider, subscribe, like, rate, review. Go to the Unscripted Violence. There should be a Facebook page like that. Go to the Unscripted Violence group because we create these groups on Facebook to kind of build a community around what we do. And we like talking to you. We like doing this show. But we need to hear from you. What do you like? What do you want to hear? Let us know.
Definitely. Don't hesitate to let us know. And even if you don't think it sounds like great criticism, that's usually the best kind of criticism. So we welcome it. We welcome you guys to definitely, if you're not a member of the group, become a member of the group. It's Unscripted Violence Pro Wrestling Talk. And that's where you'll find us. But Joe, it's been a pleasure once again. And like I said, everybody, we're going to be hitting the GCW within the next couple of days. So don't worry about that. I know that's one of our most listened to shows is our GCW shows. And
I think it's very much the excitement around the company. And I don't know how many GCW review podcasts there are out there.
Yeah, I don't either, but people are digging them by us, so we're going to keep them coming.
100%. Well, Lee, it's been nice talking to you again. Guys, have a good night. You as well.
All right. And yeah, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.